What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki, check wiki, it. Wiki.
Yo, yo, welcome back to another hot episode. I'm with my homeboy right now.
Yes, you are.
I'm Joe Fear.
I'm Matt Wolf, and this is the Hustle and Flowchart podcast brought to you by evergreenprofits.com.
Oh, wow. You just said it all, huh? Yeah. Cool. Well, today we're talking with, basically, this guy has been everywhere in the media. He's written so many books, really cool stuff. Today we're going to be talking with Noah St. John. He's actually the author of Get Rid of Your Head Trash About Money, and he's known as the Power Habits Mentor. So I actually worked with him, years and years back on a project right about this space here, you know, this personal development. Mm-hmm. Really, it's you know, make your life better, make your business better, grow, all that fun stuff. So we talk a lot about, you know, the head trash concept. Yeah. Obviously we'll touch on that in the podcast.
Yeah, if you don't know what head trash is, don't worry, he'll explain it. If you know what head trash is and you want to get it out of your head, we're gonna get into that. We actually asked Noah to walk us through some exercises for getting rid of the head trash. And then also, Noah's really well known for what he calls affirmations, and it's a slight twist on the affirmation concept, and we'll get into what that means and how to do them in the episode. It's actually really, really powerful stuff. So
yeah,
pretty cool. Exciting.
Let's get into it. Hey, Noah, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Looking forward to it, guys.
Awesome. Well, yeah, so it was kind of funny. We were just chatting. You know, I think we did a project. I don't know how many years that was now. It was probably a good 6-7 years ago or something mm-hmm. like that. But so I'm sure you've come a long way since we last chatted, because I think that was the last time we did chat. So I guess give us a little, you know, a quick backstory on who you are, where you've been, and kind of where you're at now, and what you're doing.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I founded my company, successclinic.com, in my college dorm room in 1997 mm-hmm. with $800 to my name and a book on how to do HTML. Now, most of the people listening could go, what's HTML? And that, my point is, exactly. You don't even need to know what HTML is nowadays, because it's everything is just point and click. And so, look, there was no Facebook, no YouTube, no Twitter. Social media meant sitting around the TV, watching TV with your friends. That's what social media was at that time. And, you know, there's no blogging. You couldn't, on a website, basically you could put maybe an image that was 20 pixels by 20 pixels if you were lucky, because you remember that was in the days of dial-up.
Yeah. Bringing back nightmares.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, It was a long time ago, and so I've been doing this for more than 20 years now. And you know what? I started my company with just a dream, just a desire to help people, to make a difference. Hmm. Just going back a little bit, I grew up poor in a rich neighborhood. I know that's a total cliche, but true. I grew up in a little town called Kennebunkport, Maine, which just happens to be one of the wealthiest communities in New England, but my family was dirt poor. I mean that literally. We lived at the bottom of a dirt road in a drafty, unfinished house that my parents ended up losing to foreclosure. So from a very young age, I was painfully aware of the dichotomy, the gap, the chasm between the haves and the have-nots. The haves was everyone else in the community. The have-nots was my family. Mm. And so I really hated it. I hated that poverty, that lack, that not enoughness that I grew up with. Now, my parents worked really, really hard. I mean, they struggled. They sacrificed just to keep food on the table, but they could just never get ahead. And so from a very young age, I was painfully aware of the difference between people who worked really hard and didn't get ahead, and the people who didn't seem to work so hard and yet had great abundance of wealth. I'm going, this doesn't make any sense. And so that really, really bothered me. And so I went, I did all, the only thing I knew what to do, which is I just went to the library and started reading books on success, personal growth, spiritual growth, you know, how to get ahead in life. And you know, I read all these books, and I was really, really trying to put them into practice. I was trying to do what they said. But then fast forward years later, at age 25, I decided to commit suicide because I'd been working really hard and not getting any results. You know, I watched an interview with Tom Brady, the great quarterback, and he said, you know, when you have struggle and sacrifice and not you don't get the result, that causes depression. When you have struggle and sacrifice and you have success, then that causes satisfaction. And I thought that was a very smart remark. And the point is, I only had depression because I never had success. And so I said, why am I here? And so I decided to commit suicide. I tell that story in one of my books. Hmm. But my point is that at the very last moment, my life was spared. And I made a decision, a commitment at that moment to, because my life was spared at the very last moment, I feel it was a miracle. Hmm. And I decided to devote the rest of my life to serving God and serving humanity as best I could while I'm here on the earth. But I still didn't know why I was on the earth. I still didn't know why I was here. So it wasn't until 5 years later that I had the realizations, epiphanies that led to my starting Success Clinic in my college dorm room in 1997. So it was a very, very long journey, very painful. And, you know, however, over the last 20 years, now we've helped people in over 140 countries. We have tens of thousands of students all around the world. We've got just hundreds and hundreds of success stories. If you go to our website, noahstjohn.com, and you click on the praise page, there's, you know, a page, we call it our wall of fame. And we've helped people add multiple 6, 7, and even 8 figures to their business over the last few years. And we've even helped people lose weight, you know, find love, save their marriage, help kids get better grades and have better self-esteem. So it's really been an amazing journey.
Yeah, that's a background that I did not know. So that's amazing. And I guess what was like a big turning point? Because, I mean, obviously you had that shift. You had a massive shift when you were younger. You know, how did you get on this path of success and finally kind of flip it?
Well, it was really what happened was, as I mentioned, you know, when I was studying all those traditional success books, I call it traditional success literature. Mm-hmm. And in all those books, what they talk about is how to succeed. Well, that makes perfect sense, right? If you want to learn, if you want a result, you know, it's nice to know how to do it, how to succeed. I mean, that just makes logical sense.
Yeah.
The problem is we humans aren't logical, right? And so that was the basis of one of my major epiphanies that I had in 1997, which actually led to my writing my very first book, which is called Permission to Succeed. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that we humans don't actually, many of us anyway, many of us don't need more how-tos of success. What we actually need is to learn how to give ourselves permission to succeed. Mm. That was the phrase that just like hit me like a bolt of lightning when I realized that I had never given myself permission to actually be successful. That's why I was reading all those books and they weren't making any sense to me. They didn't hit the actual problem that I, and then I realized millions of other people have, or, you know, I had at that time, which was, I don't even know if I'm allowed to succeed. I know that sounds crazy. I know that sounds silly even to some people. They go, what do you mean permission to succeed? Hmm. Well, why would you need that? Well, the fact is that what I've realized is there are two groups of people, what I call the naturals of success and everyone else. Now, the naturals of success are the ones that we're all familiar with. We all know who they are because they allow themselves to succeed at a very high level. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, you know, we all know people in every industry, whether it's the, you know, network marketing industry or real estate or chiropractic or the service industry or, you know, the thought leadership industry, mm-hmm. which I'm in. The point is that in every industry, there's like the very, very top level and then there's everybody else. And what I realize is that the people at that very top level, I call them the three percenters, mm-hmm. that what they're doing is they have these things that I now teach that allow them to be unconsciously competent at allowing themselves to succeed. And so I'm sure we've all heard the fact that, you know, when you're learning a skill or a new habit, we go through the 4 stages of competency. Mm-hmm. You start with unconscious incompetence. That means you don't know that you don't know. Then you go to conscious incompetence. That means you know you don't know. Mm-hmm. Then you go to conscious competence, which means you know and you're working at it. And then you go to unconscious competence, which means you do without thinking. Mm-hmm. And so what I realize is these naturals, these three percenters, are unconsciously competent at allowing themselves to succeed. So they went right to the how-tos. They said, well, here's how to succeed. Meanwhile, the rest of us are sitting there going, yeah, that's great, but I got to go back a step, mm-hmm. you know, and no one was talking about this. I was the first person to actually identify this, in which I actually discovered the name of this condition that I called success anorexia. People are actually, there's millions of people, tens of millions who are unknowingly starving themselves of success. So that was the basis of my entire body of work that now I've written 14 books and they're published in 17 languages. And as I've mentioned, you know, we've helped people make, well, actually now we've not only helped people build multiple six and seven and add even eight figures to their business, but we've helped our clients add over $500 million just over the last few years.
Now, it's interesting that you said about the whole how-to thing, because we've definitely picked that up with just our own community with our teaching. You know, we have a lot of marketing education out there, and it's definitely, you know, there's some people just have this brick wall where they're like, okay, they're not ready for the tools, but they're ready maybe for principles first, and maybe even, you know, obviously the mindset stuff and the stuff that you talk about as well. But yeah, you see a lot more of the how-tos than what you're talking about here, which is kind of unfortunate. But, you know, it's maybe it's sexier to people. The how-tos just kind of get right to it.
Absolutely, yes. This is what I talk about, the difference between personality-driven success and system-driven success. Now, you can't turn on Facebook nowadays without some guy saying, hey, man, look at my sports car, and look at this, and look at my that, and look at how cool I am. Aren't I awesome?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you're awesome, man. Now, the question is, have you helped anybody else, or is it just all about you? And I mean, that's what's so funny, because as you said, it is sexy. And we humans, we look at those aspirational type of images and, you know, the brain just goes into overdrive of, ooh, I want that. You know, so those self-promoters, those great self-marketers are hitting the right buttons in the human being. You know, the human being wants those nice things. Nothing wrong with that. The problem is that usually 99 times out of 100, that guy did it by virtue of his personality, you know? And so you say, you look and you go, okay, have you helped anyone else? And the answer usually is, you know, that's usually the answer you get. And so my point is that's why what I've noticed, guys, is that there's two kinds of people in this industry. There's the look at me guys and the look at us guys. Look at me guys is what I'm talking about. Hey, look at my this, look at my that. Again, there's nothing wrong with the thing. Nothing. We all want those nice things, you know, nothing wrong with it. But I'd rather brag about my students. I'd rather talk about their success, because that's how you know there's a system. If there's no system, then all you have is a guy talking about how cool he is. And the kind of weird thing is that works, you know, it really works. That's why those guys are making a lot of money and getting all the attention, because they're good at getting attention. But my problem, I guess, with that is, are you doing anything for the rest of the people that you're supposedly saying that you're helping?
Right, right.
Usually I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And yeah, there's one too many of them right now in social media, YouTube, all that stuff, but we won't go there. We won't name names. What are some of the most common reasons of this whole permission to succeed, kind of these roadblocks? What are the most common ones that you see with your students?
Well, you know, it's funny that you asked that, because that's why I wrote my new book, which is called Get Rid of Your Head Trash About Money. And, you know, we can mention that your listeners here can actually get that book for free. They just go to sendmeabooknoah.com. Very easy to remember. Sendmeabooknoah.com. And I will do that. I'll send you a book.
Nice.
And it's free. We just ask you to cover the shipping. But anyway, sendmeabooknoah.com. And it's so the reason I wrote this book is because I saw people making the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. And I said, you know, this is simple. You don't have to keep beating your head against the wall. And so the subtitle of the book is How to Avoid the Three Big Money Mistakes Even Smart People Make. And I know that everybody listening to this program is very smart. However, you may be making one or more of these mistakes without even knowing it. Now, the first mistake that I see people making is not getting rid of your head trash about money. So, of course, that brings up the question, well, what do you mean? What is head trash? What does that mean? Okay. So do you mind if I talk about that for a moment?
Go for it. It's one of my questions.
Oh, good. Okay, good. All right. So this is, like I said, this is basically what I've written 14 books about, you know, this whole concept of head trash. What does it mean? Okay. So head trash basically is that guy in your head that says, I can't do it because ... And then you just fill in the blank. Well, I can't do it because I'm too old. I can't do it because I'm too young. I can't do it because I've made too many mistakes. I can't do it because I don't have the money. I can't do it because I don't have the time. I can't do it because I don't have the connections, or because I'm a woman, or because I didn't go to the college, or I didn't go to the right college, or I don't live in the right city, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, right? You get the point.
Yeah.
So here's the whole funny, not funny thing about this whole concept of head trash, is that you always make yourself right. See, we humans have an amazing ability and proclivity, in fact, a deep need to be right. In fact, I would argue that most people would rather be right than happy. In fact, they'd rather be right than rich. Because think about it. You're literally saying to yourself, now these thoughts may be conscious, they may be subconscious, it may be a little of both. All right. But so the point is, let's say you say, you know, one of your head trashes is, well, I can't do it because I don't have the time. Right. Mm-hmm. And so guess what's going to happen? You're going to make yourself right. And so you're going to, you know, be running around all the time. You're always busy, but you're not getting anything done. I call it being on a treadmill, right? You're on a treadmill working really, really hard and getting nowhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're treadmilling. And so, but you're right. But you're not happy and you're not reaching your goals. Okay. So that is just one example of how head trash can totally hold you back. And by the way, you know, the reason that the book is called Get Rid of Your Head Trash About Money is because 77% of the people who come to me say that money is their number one frustration. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, duh, that's a big frustration for a lot of people, along with health, relationships, and stress. Those are the four big stressors that I see: money, relationships, health, and stress. Of course, stress is caused by the other three generally, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, money, yeah. health, and relationships. But my point is that's why I decided to write the book specifically about money, because that's where I see, I mean, that's where the majority of people say that they have the biggest frustration, the biggest hangups. And see, money is a very emotional issue. Hmm. And it's also one that people are embarrassed to talk about. So that makes it a double whammy. It's like, I've got this head trash, but I don't even know who to talk to about it. I don't know how to talk about it. That was one of the reasons for writing the book.
Hmm. And I just kind of came, I know there's a stat out there for this, but maybe you know the number. And speaking specifically about money, if that's kind of like the first thing some people focus on, especially if, you know, reading your book, maybe they haven't read your other 13. But do you know if there's a dollar amount per year, some kind of salary or just income range that people just finally stop worrying about money, and then they can just kind of maybe focus on the bigger things, or, you know, the other stuff like relationships, health, and sure. and whatnot?
Well, as far as the number you're talking about, there was a study done by Princeton University that showed that after $75,000 a year in income, a person's happiness doesn't go up very much. Mm-hmm. So my point being is that everybody says, well, if I had more money, then I would be happier. What that study found is that basically a person's happiness increases up to the level of about $75,000 a year. And then after that, it's pretty much doesn't move very much, which I thought was fascinating, because I'm like, are you kidding me? That's like a month.
Yeah.
How is it $75,000 a year? I mean, that should be like a month. And I mean, I was a little shocked by that number. But that, you know, again, this was a Princeton University mm-hmm, study. Mm-hmm. My point being is that, you know, going back to what I said a moment ago, most of us, especially in the United States, of course, which we've been pounded by the greatest marketers on earth for the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. And that is, you get more stuff and you will be happier. However, there's a sort of an underground movement now going on of purging your stuff, mm-hmm. like getting rid of, simplifying. You know, get the cleaning up, the clearing out, which I've been teaching for 20 years, which is, you know, the fact that it isn't more stuff that makes you happy. And what, of course, the study also mentioned is that after you've got the stuff to like live and survive and, you know, not be worried about paying the bills and so forth, what makes a person happier is experiences. Mm-hmm. I was asked recently, what do you like to collect? You know, like, mm-hmm. do you collect things? And I go, yeah, I like to collect experiences. and that, you know, because when you think about, you know, holidays or times with your family, what do you think about? That's what you think. You think about experiences.
Yeah.
You know, you think about the trip to the Grand Canyon. You think about the trip to Hawaii, or even just being at home and having a barbecue or whatever it might be. And so that's, you know, as I get older, I go, that's what I'm collecting. I'm collecting experiences. I want to collect experiences with my wife, my family, my kids, my loved ones, family and friends. And then that's what I think creates a rich life.
Mm, definitely. And we just, it was funny because just last weekend we did a workshop with a buddy of ours, AJ Roberts. He was on the podcast earlier, and he's very much mental game. And we walked through so many exercises, and it was the whole thing of like, yeah, you might think you want stuff, but then if you kind of plan out your perfect day, you know, kind of meditate for a few minutes, figure out, okay, how do you want your perfect ideal everyday life to look like? Not the day on the beach and stuff like that, but just waking up like, okay, where do things fit in on that list? And I don't think anyone in the room said, oh, I want to go rev up my big Lambo in the, every morning and, you know, run around the block and look cool. So, it kind of confirmed exactly what you're saying right there. Good stuff. And so it's kind of like this battle between logic and emotional, I feel like, in the human brain. You know, where it's, you know, like you were saying, people want to be kind of logical with the how-tos. And it's like, okay, I'm going to make my goals and, you know, get there. But then you're fighting with that emotional state, you know, with the excuses, family, stories, maybe it's your network, relationship with time and money, that kind of feel. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yes. I mean, but look, the emotion's going to win every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you can say there's a battle. It's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington, you know, whoever the team they played. I mean, emotion's going to win every single time, you know?
Yep.
The logic will never win with that battle. And because very simple, the emotional, what some people call the lizard brain, you know, the ancient mm-hmm. brain is just 100, if not 1,000 times older than the part of the brain, the human brain, that is logical. That's only developed very, very recently, evolutionarily speaking. Mm. And so that's why the emotion is, that's why those images work. That's why the picture of the Lambo and the private jet and stuff like that, it works because those marketers know that that's going to hit your brain in that specific area and go, ooh, I want that. And the logic is out the window.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all the stuff I'm saying right now goes totally against all those emotions. And that's why, you know, those self-marketers are getting, you know, they're taking a lot of air out of the room. I'm just here talking about it so that hopefully next time when people see those, they go, they ask questions like I'm saying, like, have you helped anyone else? Or is it all about you? Do you have any case studies?
Yeah.
Go to noahstjohn.com, click on the praise page, the results page, and you go, we got 20 years of results. So there's a system versus a guy's personality.
Right. And what's the, I'm kind of curious to just learn about what the biggest turnaround story is from all the years of, you know, you working with people. Mm-hmm. What is like your favorite go-to story you like to tell?
Yeah, there's so many. Mm-hmm. But one of them that's my favorite is a woman named Susan. And she actually heard me on a program very similar to this. She heard my story. And you know, at that time when she heard me, she was really almost at the end of her rope. She was $60,000 in credit card debt. She was about to lose her home. She was about to declare bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. She was about to lose her marriage. Her husband said, I can't take this anymore. Now, she was $60,000 in debt, but this is the fascinating part about the story. She didn't get in debt by buying, you know, designer shoes and bags and clothes and stuff like that. She got into that debt because she was spending money on self-help programs, personal growth programs. She had spent all this money on the biggest names in the industry and nothing was working. So very similar to my story that I shared earlier, except I just went to the library, but she was spending tens of thousands of dollars on all these gurus. And she was literally about to lose everything. And she heard me on this, on a program and, you know, literally was at the end of her rope. She was ducking calls from creditors. She told me later. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh my gosh, this just makes sense what I was saying. And she decided to get in touch with me. She signed up for my online programs. We have many different online programs. And, you know, she got coaching with me and she said, you know, at first it was kind of like, well, this is really different. This is very not what those other guys are saying. And she said, that's good, you know, but it was different. And so anyway, I was working with her, and she was doing the work. She was doing the steps, following instructions. And long story short, in less than a year, she was offered her dream job, exactly what she had been looking for. She is now a television producer for a national TV show. She's been nominated for an Emmy twice.
Wow.
And she's also just published her first book, which she asked me to write the foreword for because of how I changed her life. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I love about that story is that it really embodies essentially the whole point of my work, which is if the folks listening here, if you've been spending a lot of time, money, and effort on traditional success literature or success programs, I'm not saying they don't work. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that for millions of us, they're not the right tool to do the job. Okay, so the example I always say is, imagine if I asked you to drive a nail into a wall. Do you think you could do it? Well, of course you could, if you had what? If you had the right tool, mm-hmm. right? And what happens is that there's a lot of people who are trying to drive a nail into a wall, but all they've been given are chainsaws. And so if you're trying to drive a nail into a wall with a chainsaw, you're going to be what? Frustrated. You're going to be beating yourself up. You're going to be saying, oh my God, I'm so stupid. Why can't I do this? Well, this guy did it. And then you have these coaches that say, hey, set your goals, get motivated, think positive, come on, visualize it. And they give you a chainsaw. And it's like, guys, it has nothing to do with thinking positive. I'm not saying it's bad or wrong. I'm saying you got the wrong tool. Mm. So what I do is I give people a hammer to drive that nail into a wall. And so that's why when they get results, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when you work hard and sacrifice and you don't get results, it causes depression. When you work hard and sacrifice and you get results, that causes satisfaction. And so that's why we have a lot of satisfied customers over the last two decades.
Now, do you have any sort of like specific exercises or things that you walk people through that maybe we could sort of discuss on the call that some of our listeners could walk away with? Are there any sort of like hammers that we could give them right now?
Of course, absolutely. All right, so let's go back to what I was talking about a moment ago about your head trash, okay? So that the point about your head, think about this. I love to give this exercise too. So think about your house, right? Your home, where you live. So whether you live in a house or a condo, apartment, whatever. Mm-hmm. So just picture that, you know, your home. Mm-hmm. Okay, now imagine that one day you said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to take out the trash this week, right? And you said, yeah, I don't feel like taking out the trash. Okay, so you let the trash pile up for a week. And you're like, eh, okay. And you think next week goes by, you go, huh, you know what? I don't think I'll take the trash this week either. And then you let another week go by. And then you let a month go by, and 2 months, and 3 months, and 6 months. How's your home smelling right now? How's your home looking? Not so good, huh? I mean, it's pretty gross in there, isn't it? Okay. So here's the thing, folks. If there are millions of people out there who haven't taken out the trash in their head for 5, 10, 20 years, okay? So just imagine the trash that has built up in your head. We all know people who are walking around with resentments, with, you know, with frustrations, with anger, with depression that they've been holding on to, things that happened years and decades ago that they're still holding on to. They're still beating themselves up. They're still feeling all that resentment or regret or anger or whatever it might be. What I want you to understand is that trash is exactly like having it in your home, except it's in your head. So you can't see it directly, but you see the effects of it everywhere. So one of the things, the exercises that I suggest, and this is one of the places I start with my coaching clients, is I say, listen, what I want you to do is write down the top five head trashes that you have about money. So meaning, what are some negative beliefs that you may have about money? And you know what? I've identified over 85 different head trashes that people can have about money. There may be even more, but I mean, that's just from my clients over the last 20 years. All right. That, you know, they write down these things and they go, wow, I didn't even know I was thinking that, you know, because why? Well, because the fact is, it's exactly like sweeping it under the carpet. That's where that phrase comes from. Mm-hmm. You sweep it under the carpet. When you sweep something under the carpet, does that mean it's gone? Mm-hmm. No, there's a big lump on the carpet. You trip over it. It's not gone. You just don't want to look at it. But yeah. My, you know, suggestion here, my encouragement to you is, well, that could be the very thing that's holding you back right now. That could be the very thing that is keeping you from reaching your pot of gold, your desired results. And so write down three to five or even 10 head trashes about money. I'll just give you some quick examples. Rich people are selfish. That's a belief that many people have. Now, that's a very popular belief. Turn on the news, look at movies. Who's the only bad guy that you can have? Basically, a white male businessman. That's the only bad guy you can have in a movie right now.
Right, right.
You know, a white male businessman who's rich and is, a son of a gun. All right. So, but the point is, what that does is it reinforces that belief that rich people are selfish and mean. Now, look, here, I'm just going to take this one particular, head trash. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's rich people that are selfish. There's poor people that are selfish too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's rich people that are really, really nice. And there's poor people that are really, really nice. The fact is, money doesn't change anything. It reveals everything. That's like a writer downer right there. Like money doesn't change anything. It reveals everything. What you are. So take a person who doesn't have money, right? And just picture that. Now, if you're a nice person that doesn't have money, and then you give them money, what's going to happen? You're just going to be nicer, mm-hmm. but you're able to help more people. Mm-hmm. But you take a not nice person and they don't have money, and then you give them money, what happens? Now they can be more mean to more people. See what I mean?
It's
a magnifying glass. It doesn't change anything. It reveals who you already are. And so my point is, that's just one example, because if you're going around believing, thinking, well, rich people are selfish, rich people are bad, rich people are mean, then how are you going to be one? Are you going to sign up for that thing that says, hey, I think I'll be a mean, selfish person? Yeah, that sounds great. Where do I sign? No, you're going to keep yourself. I was just talking with somebody the other day, and they said one of their head trashes is, I'm a bad money manager. Mm. Well, what do you think is going to happen when you get money?
It's self-sufficient.
You're going to make sure it goes away.
Yeah, exactly.
Make yourself right. Like I was saying earlier, you would rather all of us humans, we'd rather be right than rich. Mm-hmm. And so to make myself right, I'm going to, money comes in. I'm a bad money manager. Oh, make sure it goes away. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? Yep. So this can be affecting you in so many ways, but you're not even aware of it. This is why this exercise, it sounds so simple. And yes, it's simple, but it can be incredibly powerful if you do it.
Yeah. Now, what are some, do you have some examples of some other commonly seen forms of head trash?
Well, I've already mentioned many of them. And so, like, for example, another one like that I grew up with was, I can't afford it. Hmm. I can't afford it. Now, why did I have that? Well, I told you earlier, I grew up poor in a rich neighborhood. So I only heard 10 trillion times growing up, we can't afford it. I wonder where I got it from.
Yeah.
So maybe it came from your family of origin. Maybe you made it up as you went through life. Who knows? It doesn't matter. See, this isn't about pointing fingers. Oh, they did it to me. God, who cares? It doesn't matter. What we're doing, in fact, is the exact opposite of blaming. We're taking responsibility. When you go through my programs, that is the entire point. We're about taking responsibility, not blaming, not pointing fingers, not saying, oh, poor me, I'm a victim. No, it's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
You're saying, hey, listen, I'm tired of having these results. Franklin said, there are only two guarantees in life, death and taxes. Well, with all due respect to old Ben, I would argue there's a third guarantee. And that is, if you keep doing the same thing, I guarantee you'll keep getting the same results, right? I mean, there's not many guarantees in life, but I'm pretty sure that's one of them, right? So the point is, if that's what you're getting, if you're not happy with what you're getting, well, we got to look at why you're getting it, don't we? I mean, that just makes sense. So for me, like I said, one was, I can't afford it. I only heard it 10 trillion times. Okay. So I'm going, well, okay, now how is that affecting me? Well, it affects everything, mm-hmm. because I want this thing and I go, oh, I can't afford it. I'll give you just like a funny example. I had been, saying I can't afford it for my entire life because I heard it a billion times growing up. And so, I was making money. I was doing my business and I had money. And all my life, I wanted to swim with dolphins. That was one of my experiences. I talked about experiences. Mm-hmm. That's one of the experiences that I always wanted to do. I want to swim with dolphins. With a name like Noah, you want to play with animals. Right? So I go, but in my head, I would always have that dream. Oh man, I really want to swim with dolphins. But then the next thought was, I can't afford it. That's only for rich people. I literally woke up one morning. I go, wait a minute. I'm rich. I mean, I'm wealthy. I'm compared to what I was. Certainly. I am now basically the definition of wealthy, certainly doing better than that Princeton survey, that I talked about. So I'm going, dude, what is that? And I go, oh, it's head trash. No kidding. And I'm going, well, screw that. I don't want to go swim with dolphins. And I'm like, but it was so funny. I didn't even look it up because in my head, it just immediately, I can't afford it.
Expensive.
And then I said, hey, what? And I looked it up. I'm going, are you kidding me? That's not that expensive. You know, because of course now I've got money.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so I looked, and now my wife and I, we've swum with dolphins 4 different times in different countries. You know, we love it. It's so fun. And I mean, that's just one example of how that head trash can affect you without you even knowing it.
Love it.
So saying that, yeah, it sounds like, so once you identify what those head trash things are, if we're carrying on with that exercise, that's the awareness factor. And I would assume that's probably the one of the biggest things is you're pulling it out of your head. You're making, you're shining a massive light on it. You're like, holy shit, that's what's been holding me back, you know?
You know, that's funny you just said that, because one of my clients years ago, he used that exact terminology. He said, Noah, you know, when I was going through your program, it's like you were turning a light on in a room that's been dark my whole life. And I realized that's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. Because see, the unconscious mind or the subconscious mind, it's like that iceberg. We've all seen that picture now. You know, the conscious mind is like the top of the iceberg. It's above the surface, only about 5%. The vast 95% is below the surface.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point. You can't see it, but you think that is not affecting you just because you can't see it? Of course, it's affecting everything you do. So yeah, that's exactly what it is turning a light on, and you go, wow, I didn't even know that was in there. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess the next step, and I'm just kind of getting this from what you were saying kind of inadvertently here, is would the second step after awareness, would that be, how is this affecting me? You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's okay. Exactly what I suggest. I literally say, you know, list all the ways that that belief is holding you back from having the money or, you know, the income that you really want, you know, in what ways is it affecting you? Now I get that swimming with dolphins is not like a life or death situation and stuff like that. But, you know, in other cases, you know, of my clients, like, you know, I was just talking about, I'm a bad money manager, that belief. I mean, imagine how that could be affecting you. It could be affecting you tremendously.
Sure.
You know, maybe you get a big amount of money in and you make sure it goes out again.
Right.
Right. So wouldn't it be great to have a different belief that says, well, wait a minute, I'm a good money manager, you know, to start to change your beliefs. So yeah, this is one of the first places to start. By the way, I do also talk about in the book, the importance of mentorship. That's another really important thing that I just really want to mention, because as I talked about earlier, you know, we have, it's so easy to see this personality driven success out there. You can't turn on Facebook without seeing it. The problem is, as I mentioned, that, you know, they usually are just all about themselves. That's the only success story they have, is themselves. Well, that doesn't help any of the rest of us. And believe me, I've given those guys a lot of money and lost a lot of money because I bought it too, you know, for a long time. I bought it just like everybody else. And so my point is that when you have a system-driven success, a real mentor is really what we teach at Success Clinic, is three things. A true mentor is, number one, someone who's where you want to be. Now that's the easy part. That's, you know, personality driven success is, oh, they got the car, the house, the whatever. Okay. That's the easy part. The second stage is they have a system that can help you get there, meaning someone who's not them, right? That's the part that everybody forgets. But then the third step, the third stage, or the third part of a real true mentor, is someone who actually helps you get there. Someone who actually does it, see? So you can know how to do something and still not do it. So that's the point. That's, again, one of the reasons we have so many success stories, is because I would rather brag about my students than myself. I'm just a weird guy. I like talking about my students.
It's a good thing.
I'm not comfortable talking about myself. I'd rather talk about Susan and Sheila and Tim and, you know, George and all of them, you know, Mike, and you just go to the page and you'll see all the stories. My point being, is that having a true mentor, you've got to be very, very careful who you pick as your mentor, I think, because it's so easy to just fall into the trap of, oh, well, they're where I want to be. That's great. Can they help you get there? Do they have a system? And number two, will they actually help you? Those are the two, those to me are the two most important.
Those are huge. Yeah, for sure. And I was just thinking about this as we were talking about head trash and we're talking about, you know, starting out the 75,000 mark. I would imagine now you're dealing with a lot of successful people. I mean, I know you're doing your job right. You know, you have a lot of success. So what are you seeing after people get past that initial hurdle? Now, you know, they're quote unquote wealthy, but right. I mean, everybody's still dealing with head trash. How, you know, is it the same stuff just in a different form, or is it completely different? Like, what are you seeing?
That's a great question. And what I call it is a spiral staircase of success. Okay. So imagine walking up a spiral staircase. As you said, you're kind of dealing with the same, but it's not quite the same. Mm-hmm. You know, so for example, like I said, you know, I can't afford it. That was my belief for, you know, most of my life. Well, I don't really say that anymore. Now it's okay. How am I going to get the best return on my investment? You see how that's a more empowering question?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How am I going to get the best return on my investment? Is this particular investment the best way or the fastest way or the easiest way to get my ROI? You see, so that's a more empowering question. That's what I want people to start asking is questions like that because, you know, hey, everything has a cost, right? Or, you know, some price attached to it if there's an investment. So the question isn't, well, how much is it? The question in your mind should be, how fast and how easy can I get my return on this investment, whatever it is right. that you're looking at? And so my point is that one of the things that I look at is an acronym that I call LOSS, L-O-S-S. Mm-hmm. This is one of the biggest things that I see holding people back is L-O-S-S, and that stands for lack of support system. When you have a lack of support system, it's going to be extremely hard to get to your pot of gold, if not, I don't want to say impossible, but just really, really hard. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the point is that there's no such thing as a self-made man or woman. You know, there has to be a support system, whether it's, you know, your spouse or whether it's your family members or whether it's a coach or teacher or mentor, there has to be some kind of support in order for you to reach your goals, especially if they're big goals, especially if you want to, you know, grow your business, scale your business, have a big impact and a big income. You know, which I know the people listening to this program do. Mm-hmm. And so the point is that you've got to have that support system. And as I mentioned a moment ago, you've got to pick your mentors very carefully because that's the person that basically you're going to be modeling. And we humans need good role models. We need strong role models, not just about personality, but about systems. And so if you're thinking that, man, this is really hard, you know, to grow my business or scale my business or whatever it might be, I would encourage you to look at your support system. Do you have the proper mentor or mentors or coaches in place? Do you have that support system? If not, you know, I guess one of my messages is to your listeners that there is help available. There's help available out there and you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to do it all by yourself.
Mm. Mm. Very cool. Now, I do have one sort of last question on this topic and then we could kind of sort of start to wrap it up. But so we've sort of identified the top head trash stuff that is going on in our head. We've kind of identified how it's actually affecting our lives. We know that we should probably go out there and look for a good mentor that meets all the criteria we just discussed. What sort of things can we start doing on a daily basis to start shifting this head trash? What's the recommendation once it's identified and we know how it's affecting us? What can we do to sort of shift those beliefs?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I teach is my concept of affirmations. I'm kind of famous for inventing this method called the affirmations method. We all know what an affirmation is. An affirmation is a positive statement like I am happy, I am rich. You know, so basically what the traditional success teachers said is just take those. If you have a negative belief, just turn it around, make it a positive statement instead of, you know, I'm not good enough. You say I am good enough. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the classic example is I am rich and you say I am rich and your brain says, no, you're not. Right. And so what they taught is bash your brain into submission. That's basically what they taught. Mm-hmm. Bash your brain into submission and I'm sure it'll work out. Okay. Well, many years ago, in fact, in 1997, I had a shower epiphany. I call it the shower that changed everything. You know, this epiphany in the shower. I talk about it in, you know, several of my books, Book of Affirmations, The Secret Code of Success, and on and on. Anyway, so I realized, wait a minute, the human mind actually operates using questions, right? Not statements. If I were to ask you, why is the sky blue? Your brain automatically starts to search for the answer. Why is the sky blue? Mm-hmm. Now, you couldn't even help doing it. So I said, wait a minute, why are we going around making statements we don't believe when the human mind automatically searches for answers to questions? Why don't we just cut out the middleman? And I said, well, I don't know. What would that look like? Well, let's see. You got the statement. So what I like to do in my live events, like I have a live event called Freedom Lifestyle Experience. I have everybody stand up and I say, okay, we're going to say this affirmation. Ready? I am rich. And everybody goes, I am rich. And then they start laughing. I go, what are you laughing at? They go, well, I'm not rich. I said, but you just said you were. Yeah, but I don't believe it. You see, so that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. We can say these things all we want, but if you don't believe it, it doesn't make any difference. There's nothing wrong with the statement. The problem is we don't believe the statement. Mm-hmm. So I said, wait a second. All right. So that's the statement. And the brain literally goes, yeah, right. So I said, well, if that's true, then what would the question be? Well, why am I so rich? Why am I so rich? Now, when you ask that question, what immediately starts to happen in your brain? You start to search for the answer, right? Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, wait a second. If the what we're really talking about here is the law of sowing and reaping. As you sow, so shall you reap. But what are we sowing? We're sowing seeds of thought. But what are most people doing? Sowing lousy thought seeds. Why am I so stupid? Why am I so fat? Why can't I lose weight? Why can't I make more money? Why isn't my business growing? Why is there more month left at the end of the money? And when you ask lousy questions, what do you get? Lousy answers. Oh, yeah. And that creates a lousy life. So I said, wait a second. What if instead of asking lousy questions that lead to lousy answers and create a lousy life, what if we flip the whole thing on its head and start asking empowering questions that lead to phenomenal answers and create a wonderful life? And as I was standing there in the shower, April 1997, I said, holy cow, I think I just invented something. And so I had to give it a name, and the name that I gave it was Affirmations, not Affirmations, but Affirmations. Mm-hmm. And now this is one of the things that people absolutely love. This is one of the things that helped Susan, for example, that story I shared earlier, helped her turn her life around from $60,000 in debt to a six-figure income in less than a year. You know, helped Sheila go from $5,000 to $75,000 a month. Helped Tim go from zero to a seven-figure income, and on and on and on and on. So this Affirmations is an incredibly simple but stunningly powerful method to instantly and immediately change your subconscious thought patterns from negative to positive.
And I can imagine just using that in like a meditation space, just like, okay, what is one question, whatever it might be, money related, work related, whatever. And then just focus on that for, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes.
You got it. I love it. And when you go to our website, when you go to noahstjohn.com, we've got lots of different tools, books, we've got iForm audios. You can listen to them. As you just mentioned, you can have them in your meditation, or you can even just listen to them throughout the day while you're exercising, even listening in your sleep. So really, really powerful tool.
Love it, Noah. Well, before we totally wrap up, what is one, and I know we know you have your own books for sure, and people will definitely check them out. What's another good, you know, maybe a book or resource that you go to from maybe one of your mentors that you'd like to recommend?
Well, the reason that I got in this industry was Dr. Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm-hmm. That book really affected me very deeply back in the 90s. It's still a great book. You know, it's a classic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've very much wanted to follow in Dr. Covey's footsteps, and getting Dr. Covey's endorsement before he sadly passed away was one of the highlights of my career. So that was definitely one of the books that really shaped my life.
That's awesome. And that's amazing. A great one.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody listening, if you go to sendmeabooknoah.com, he'll give you a free copy of his book. And then your main website is noahstjohn.com. So everybody check that out. We're gonna try to list all of the books and resources mentioned on today's episode inside the show notes. So you'll get access to all of those there. And thanks so much, Noah. We really appreciate you spending the time with us today.
My pleasure.
Awesome, Noah. We'll talk soon. All right. Thank you. And I hope you just enjoyed this episode you just listened to. Now, right now, before we sign off, I have a few things I would love for you to do. So the very first thing is to go find our guest on Facebook and tell them that you loved their episode with us. That's going to help them just feel good about themselves, but also it's going to spread the word a little bit more for us. So go find them on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook, and go say that you love their episode and maybe one cool thing that you learned there. The second thing is to go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Just look up Hustle and Flowchart and hit the subscribe button. And the very last thing, the third thing, is to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast and help us spread the word more. That's how more people are going
and get this awesome knowledge, this cool podcast training, and a whole bunch of other cool free training that we give out at evergreenprofits.com. So that's about it. Go find them on Facebook, go subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a review. You would be amazing if you did that, but you're always amazing. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.